Hey there, welcome to the Hella Road podcast, where we talk about unique and forgotten cars, road trips, travel destinations, and our current car adventures. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Paul.
And today we're going to be diving into a bunch of listener questions. Yes, that's right. It's time for another Q&A.
We had a lot of fun with that last one.
Yeah. But before we dive in, if you're enjoying this podcast, would you be so kind as to write a review on iTunes? That would really help us get the podcast out to more people so more people can find out about that. We'd really appreciate it.
Yes, please.
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 So we've got a couple updates. I mean, you mentioned that you drove your Daihatsu. That's kind of something to talk about. You actually got the car out of the driveway and took it for a little cruise.
Yeah, you know, we had the long holiday weekend just passed, and so I took advantage of it by just exclusively driving the Daihatsu around, which was fun and interesting because it was very hot, and the car has no air conditioning, and it also has some very nicely redone black leatherette-esque
perfect
front seats. So, yeah, it really adds to the effect of the summer.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But no, even with that, it's still just every time I get in that car, I'm just like, man, it's such an enjoyable car to drive. You know, I always think like, man, this car feels better than the Fit, which is like kind of a silly thing, but it just does. I don't know. Maybe it's just my admiration for the car just oversteps everything, but who knows? But yeah, so I drove it around. It was very, very nice. Every time I drive it, I think about what I want to do to it. So I've got lots of ideas swirling around in my head. So
okay,
we'll see. So
all right, you gotta get prepared for the next Radwood.
Yes. What about you?
So I actually drove the Nova Twin Cam a little bit this past week. It was also, you know, not too far from you. So it was a billion degrees out, over 100 degrees a couple of these days. So no air conditioning kind of meant it was a little sweaty, but fun. I love driving that car. The Geo, on the other hand, still haven't got it smogged, just haven't had time to get to it. So it's just kind of, I just move it around here and there. But that's really all that's been going on with the cars that I have in the fleet at the moment. But there is kind of big news. I'm going to be getting my second press car ever, a 2020 Corolla Hybrid, which I'm quite excited about.
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't normally think to get super excited about a Corolla or a hybrid, but I like small cars. I like efficient cars. I've always liked small cars. So I'm kind of curious to see what this vehicle is all about and take it on a little road trip. So,
yeah, no, that's going to be definitely cool. I don't know if I've seen a hybrid rolling around. I just may have missed the trim badging or something, but yeah. I have seen some of the sedans, which I like the way they look. I think they look nice. The hatchback looks pretty good, but I think I kind of prefer the way the sedan looks over it. Yeah. That's kind of just the way I think it's something to do with the rear taillights. I think I like them more.
I definitely think that it doesn't look quite as nice as something like the Mazda 3, but you know me, I've talked about how much I dislike the Civic. It's definitely a step up from the Civic design, which I kind of find hard to look at. So yeah, looking forward to driving that one around, seeing what the gas mileage is like, and taking it on a little road trip. I think I'm going to be driving it out to, there's this museum near Joshua Tree called the Noah Purifoy Museum, which is like this kind of folk art museum out there in the desert. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and seeing what that's all about.
There and back on one tank of gas. That's the challenge.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's easy. Yeah, I would guess that you could probably get, I mean, the loan for the vehicle is probably only going to limit, it's probably going to limit me to 500 miles. So I probably won't even need to, I'll have to just get gas once right before I give the car back. My guess, you know, because the Prius that I have a 2016 Prius, and that usually goes 550, 560 miles per tank. So my guess is that the Corolla is right up there. I feel like it's maybe 1 or 2 miles per gallon off of the Prius. So it's really, really close.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to compare them because, you know, you've talked a couple times about your distaste for the Prius. So maybe the Corolla might be a good alternative that might be able to fit a kid's seat and you might be able to see out of and you might be able to fit in. So we'll
see. Yeah. You know, I think I've been pretty tough on the Prius. Like it's probably not as bad as I've been saying that it is, you know, like certainly I can't fit the rear facing car seat in the back and still have me fit in the car. It's just really uncomfortable. But you know, I think there's a lot of small vehicles that would have that exact same problem. So I can't really blame that entirely on the Prius. You know, bought the car before we had a kid, so I didn't really know. You know, there's a few things that I don't like. I don't like the regenerative braking on the Prius. I'm curious if the Corolla just retains that exact same feel or if it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, the 2016 Prius also does not have CarPlay or Android Auto, so I'm sure the 2020 Corolla has that. So that, you know, I think there's probably a few things that this will you know, improve upon, you know, my experience with the Prius. So we'll see. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's going to be exciting to get your opinions on that and see how it is out there in the real world.
Yeah, sure. And I'm just excited that, like, you know, I've been trying to build my YouTube channel for a couple of years and I finally was able to get the Kia Telluride press car, and now mm-hmm. I'm able to get the Corolla. So I'm super excited about that. Just even if I only ever get two press cars, I think it's sort of a win in my book.
Yeah,
so.
No, it totally is.
Yeah.
It totally is.
So I think now is be a good time to jump into the Q&A. What do you think?
I think we should definitely do it.
Okay, enough talking about Corolla hybrids.
Enough talking about Corolla hybrids.
And... Nope. Okay. So the first question is from West0TA. And their question is, your general opinion on Korean cars, and would you consider a mint 80s Excel in your fleet? Mm. What do you think, Paul?
General opinion about Korean cars. Well,
yeah.
You know, I think that some of the more humble ones from the 80s and the 90s, like, they're definitely up my alley of interesting, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they're oddballs still at that thing. You don't see them anymore. And I think
sure.
there's a reason for that.
And it's you not didn't see that many of them back in the day.
Well, either. That's true. They didn't sell yep. very, very well because it was kind of like, ooh, what is this? You know?
Sure. Sort of untested.
Right, yep. right. But with that said, you know, I think about like that, maybe that first generation Accent that came out. And I remember seeing, you know, an article in Grassroots Motorsports about some teacher who autocrossed it. And it was like, he bought the car new for $7,000. And, you know, it was just like, that was the kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. And then, yeah, you know, you start hearing stories. Like, I remember a friend of mine bought his first brand new car while he was in high school. And it was a Hyundai. I think it was a Hyundai. It was a Hyundai, I think, or a Kia. And it lasted a year. So, you know, it was like, but as for adding one, yeah, I think, you know, if I could find a super mint clean Excel, I think, is it Excel or X? No, it's Excel.
Excel, yes.
Hyundai, like, you're selling Excel. I'm saying Hyundai wrong. I've always said it that way because when they were in WRC, that's how they always said it.
Okay.
Hyundai.
Sure. And I was like, does Paul know how to say Hyundai? I don't know.
Hyundai. It's
sure.
fun to say it.
You can say that. That's fine.
Hyundai. Yeah. I think if there was a minty clean Excel, I'd definitely add it to the fleet if it was
sure.
the right price. Like,
well, that's kind of right up your alley, you know, small hatchback, yeah, 80s, yeah. 90s. Yeah.
Little box. Yeah.
Maybe underappreciated.
Yeah.
Maybe it's appreciated as much as it should be. I'm not sure, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like in terms of Korean cars, you know, when they first came here, they were sort of known as being second tier, kind of me too, sort of awkward copies of mm-hmm. Japanese cars. You know, and they sort of quickly went from being that to being their own thing. At least in the U.S. market. I can't really speak to Korean cars outside of the U.S. I don't
right.
really know how they were perceived in other markets. But I mean, just the fact of, you know, my experience with the brand new Kia Telluride, it's really a fantastic vehicle
mm-hmm.
with very few flaws, and it can stand up against anything that's out there today. And probably, you know, I think a lot of automotive journalists would put that right up there as the number one, you know, right up at the top of three row SUVs in the midsize category. So, you know, who would have expected that 10 years ago?
Right.
I don't think many people would have.
I think the cars have come such a long way, especially in the last, I would say, 5 years. Like, there's been such, you know, more leaps and bounds in the design and just overall the technology that goes into the cars. So it makes them, in a league of their own. Like, 5 years ago, what the heck was it? The front of it looked like a Camry, but the back of it looked like an Accord. It's like they kind of were stealing the design language from the other, or copying them. But now they're coming up with their own looks and their own identities. Like I saw a brand new, Hyundai Elantra Sport today coming home, like brand new, like still had the paper plates on it. And I was like, that's a really sharp looking car. I was like,
You know, you can still see like some nods to other manufacturers' designs, you know, that you can kind of see where they maybe got a few of their ideas, but they're less outright copies, trying to be like copies of a Japanese vehicle, for instance. So, you know, and I guess in terms of like the stuff from the 80s, maybe not an Excel. I think I'd be down with a Mitsubishi Priusus because it's just that was one that you saw even less than the Excel. But it was essentially the same car, I'm pretty sure, right?
I think so.
And then here's the other thing to think about is the Hyundai Scoop. You know, that was the coupe version of the Excel, the whole whopping 81 horsepower. So I think I'd probably prefer the hatchback, but I think it's just important to remember the Scoop. You know, everybody should take a moment. If they don't remember what the Scoop looks like, go and pop into Wikipedia and take a look at the Scoop. The first gen was, it's not the best looking vehicle, but it is kind of fun to remember that.
Yeah.
Hyundai was trying to get a little bit sporty with their 81 horsepower, sporty coupe.
Sporty coupe.
Scoop.
The Scoop.
Yep.
It was a good name for a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe if we were into ice cream or something.
Exactly. Two scoops, just Raisin Bran. Just you just have two of those next to each other. And you got two scoops, and it's a joke that I haven't quite fully fleshed out yet, but you get where I'm going with it.
Yeah, I do. It's good.
Yes. So, okay. So then, got another question. The Blue XB wants to know, would you import a car from Europe? If so, what would it be? So for me, we talked about this before, hands down, Renault Aventime. And second choice would be the Fiat Multipla. Yep. So both kind of just stupidly weird vehicles. You know, the Aventime is that kind of coupe with kind of, it's like a cross between a coupe and a minivan. It's like, doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. That would be, I would love one of those. And the Fiat Multipla is just so stupidly weird. And that just took so many risks with the design of that vehicle. You know, it's not a good looking car. I just like the fact that they just decided to do it.
Right.
So, I think that one came out in 98. So 25 years, whatever the math is on that. Hopefully I can get one of those, here soon.
98. I think you've got to wait till 2022.
Yeah. So I got to, whatever that is, a couple more years.
Yeah.
So what about you?
So keeping up with my scrappy hatchbacks that are European, one car that I've always kind of adored the way it looks and kind of the performance of it would be the Renault Clio Williams. And this would be the 95 model. So it was the first, I guess there was a few different versions. So they'd call it the Mark One over there. Basically, it was a little Renault Clio, little front-wheel drive hatchback. But the Williams part of it, it had a, at the time, Williams was using Renault engines in their Formula One cars. So they, you know, they got a hold of some of the cars and did some work to the suspension. And I think they may have, I don't know if they did something to the engine. I don't know every tidbit about the car. But what I do know is the car ends up being 150 horsepower and I think something like 16 or 1700 pounds. So it's actually a pretty sweet little car. And then they've improved it over the years and they had different Clio Williams that came out. There's kind of a cult following with them over there too. And they're kind of cool. I think they predated the Imprezas with the whole blue with the gold wheels thing because the first one was 95 and that's how they, I think they all came was that it was kind of a darker blue than that, like a Subaru has with gold wheels on it. Pretty sweet. So yeah, I think that one for sure. And then, if I get to pick two, we're going to not stray too far from that. And I'm going to go with the Peugeot 106 Rally. And, that is basically the same sort of thing with less horsepower.
Yeah.
But it, it was kind of meant to be I don't want to say it was an homologated homologation car for rally racing, but they kind of just put them out there as like, hey, this is a stripped out car that if you want to take it rally racing, it's ready to go. Kind of in the same vein as the Mitsubishi Lancer Evolution MR, not the MR. What was it? The rally. I don't know. They had a version of the car that you can get. Basically, it comes with steel wheels on it, and it's like, okay, go do what you need to do to this thing. But but Peugeot had that thing come out, and it's a tiny little 3-door scrappy hatchback, so it's right up my alley. I think they only came in white with these really bitchin' side graphics on it.
And, oh yeah, yep.
And white steelies, so it was pretty cool. So yeah, I think those two would most likely be what I'd bring in. There's others, but you know, who am I to kid? Scrappy hatchbacks. So
yeah, that's a good choice. Definitely a good choice. Okay, so this is a question for me. Lewis Storms, it's regarding YouTube, because you know, obviously do my videos on YouTube. He has a question. Have you thought about composing music for other YouTubers? It would be great. So some of you may know that in a past life, I was a songwriter and a musician. I'm taking some time off from doing that now, but I intend to record more music and write more music in the future. Just haven't done a whole lot of it lately. But to anybody that is making YouTube videos that needs some music, all my music is licensed via a Creative Commons attribution license. So if you're making your own videos on YouTube or other places, you can use my music. And as long as you just credit me and link to my site. So if anybody needs music for their videos, you can find it at stateshirt.com. And I don't really have a ton of time to make music for my own car videos, which is pretty silly. I wish I had time to do that, but I don't. It takes too much time to film everything and edit everything. I don't have time to actually write the music for it too. But so that's hopefully at some point in my life I'll have more time to make music. But right now it's mostly spending time with my kid and making videos about cars. So
yep.
Yes. So in the late 80s, their question is, what's your opinion on the Instagram, quote, boring car community? So I feel like, I think what he's getting at is, or what they're getting at is, basically, there's quite a few Instagram accounts that are just showing like normal cars.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're often older cars, like, but they're cars like the Chevy Celebrity or like the Dodge Aries or like the Plymouth Breeze or something like that. So cars that were just utilities, cars that were just transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually kind of find it more interesting than just about any other car community on Instagram. There's plenty of different car communities out there that are you know, huge. But I find it kind of exciting when you find these old cars that just, they just endured, you know, they just stood the test of time. Or somebody was thoughtful enough to care for it, or maybe some grandma just never drove it and it just ended up in the garage or somewhere. And it's just kind of exciting to see people take pictures of these things and get reminded of those vehicles that, you know, like I'd say even a lot of these were unloved even when they left the factory. You know, there's just plenty of cars that nobody really cared about. Everybody kind of crapped on them when they left the factory. Nobody was like just drooling over the Plymouth Breeze, you know. But it's kind of neat that there's people that are paying attention to this stuff now and they're, you know, those cars are getting some love and attention. So I find it fun to follow those accounts and follow the people that are seeking out cars that most people would just overlook.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Today was a great example. There was, you know, all the different things that I follow I tend to always gravitate towards like, you know, spending more time looking at the picture and just like thinking about the car versus like today, for example, was the Porsche Taycan debut, and all of social media was just buzzing with the car, which, you know, looks great and everything. Cool. But then what was the picture? Oh, you tagged me in it. That was yesterday. When they put up the Tommaso charade. And I was like, yes, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. But the other stuff too, I'm in total agreement with like the forgotten things that were just appliances. There's a Chevy Cavalier. Now follow me on this. Chevy Cavalier RS wagon. That is local to me and I see it all the time, but I never get a chance to take a picture of it. And it's just like, I love that car. It's so perfect, and it's in really good shape too. So mm-hmm. I need to track that guy down one day and take a picture, or girl,
yeah,
whatever, and take the picture of the car and be like, yes, this is what I'm talking about right here. But sure. Yeah, no, I mean, that's totally like the whole Radwood epitome too. Like, you know, it's really cool to see a bunch of 944s and E30s at those shows, but the real crowd stealers are the things that are like, oh, I haven't seen one of these in X number of years, you sure. know, so like something like a Chevy Cavalier RS wagon
mm-hmm.
in pristine yeah. condition is going to get probably a bigger crowd around it than, you know, 13 944s. Not that there's anything wrong with 944s, but that's typically, you know, how, you know, at least what I see at the shows and what I tend to gravitate towards. So
yeah, definitely. I'm going to gravitate towards those vehicles that you're just surprised that they've made it to 2019 yeah. or, you know, cars that are just, were just underappreciated. Or they didn't make that many of them. So yeah. you're just, I get super excited when you actually see that. And the last time you may have seen that vehicle might've been when you were 15 or something, you right. know? I remember and that's actually what gets me excited when I see a lot of these vehicles too, just kind of brings you back to when was the last time you saw one of those, mm-hmm. you know? My neighbor used to have a Subaru RX Turbo. It was the hatchback. So I don't know if you remember what those look like.
Right.
Super boxy. It was white, had these really cool 80s looking wheels. It was the front end looked like a Loyal wagon, but then it had basically a hatchback back on it.
Okay. Okay. Now I know.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I saw one of those on one of these boring Instagram accounts the other day, and it started this whole thing of me like looking for, trying to find an RX for sale. And of course there's none.
Of course.
And it's hard to search for too, because when you search for a Subaru RX, you know, inevitably the WRX comes up, or like some other things.
Exactly.
But you know, like, so in the late 80s, the person that asked this question, like their Instagram feed is fun. It's just like one of the things that you'll see is like, oh, there's a picture of a Ford Tempo GLX, which is, you know, one of those things that was the highest trim level. It's like, it's also kind of neat to remember these little tidbits. That was the highest trim level that was offered for the Tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a picture of the Mercury Capri, the one built in Australia that was basically the front wheel drive Miata.
Right. And then they also used that as a Lotus, didn't they?
I don't know.
Wait, no. That's know. A car. There's the Lotus looks similar. The Elan, and then the
you
Kia.
Think, yeah, the Elan looks similar. Okay. Yeah.
But I know which one it is though. Yeah. The convertible yep. one.
Yeah. Okay. And then just like there's a picture of they have a picture of a Mazda 626 hatchback, which is also one of those cars for like an 80s, late 80s 626 hatchback. It was one of those cars I haven't seen in ages. You know, I think the other thing that's kind of a little sad about when you see some of these forgotten, boring, whatever you want to call them, Instagram car feeds, is that you often see ones that are in junkyards and you kind of right. get a little teary-eyed, and or they're completely rusted out, or, you know. But that's sort of like, I've sort of been thinking about that a little bit more with my, you know, my Geo Prism that I have, my 1991 Geo Prism GSI, which is super rare and completely trashed. And sometimes I wonder, like, maybe I should not bother trying to restore it. I should just try to get the engine fixed and just drive it looking like a piece of crap, because I could restore it now and then 10 years later, it's probably going to look like a piece of crap again. So I should just try to enjoy it.
Enjoy it as it is. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's kind of the thought process I have with the Charade. Like, you know, I could repaint it and do all this stuff to it, but then it just ruins its kind of the batteredness of the car. So, you know, I just kind of want to leave it.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah. I got to figure out what I want to do with my Prism, because I do feel like it would be a ton of money and a ton of effort to put into that car, which I think ultimately would be super fantastic. But also at the same time, you know, I should just really focus on getting the thing running properly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. This is one from _Auto333. Favorite story of helping a friend buy or find a car? I didn't really have a great one for this. I have a little story, but I don't know. Do you have a one for this one?
Well, I guess it would probably, it's not a friend, but it's my wife.
Okay.
her first car. She wanted to buy a new car when she got her driver's license because she had an okay job. She was going to school, so it wasn't going to be anything super expensive.
Yeah.
But I convinced her. I was like, no. You need to get a Volkswagen Beetle because mm-hmm. I had a Volkswagen Beetle and had recently, around this time, gotten my Ford Mustang. I was sure. No. Beetles are great because they're cheap and they're easy to fix. And yeah, so this was in the early days before, you know, there really wasn't a good auto trader online. So you'd have to use the magazine that you'd get at like 7-Eleven for a dollar.
Sure.
So we got one of those and we found a nice Beetle. Her first car was a 74 Super Beetle. It was in really good shape. It was green, mm-hmm. original paint with a tan interior, and it helped negotiate it. I thought I was like such a badass because it was like, yeah, $1,500 for this bug, which you can't get nowadays. The Volkswagens sure. are very expensive. Oh, yeah. You know, they're a lot more than that. But it was like $1,500. And, you know, it was a great experience up until like 2 or 3 days later when the car caught fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, oh. yeah, so well, we fixed
did
it.
Did you get the extended CarMax warranty with that?
No, it was a private party sale.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So she drove it around for another 6 months until it caught fire again. And
whoa.
That was the end of that one. And she went out and bought her Ford Focus that she owned for 13 or 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my fun little car yes. buying story.
Well, okay. Yeah. I don't really have a good answer for this one. You know, I actually haven't helped that many people buy a car. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they know I would be a bad influence on them and get them to buy something kind of stupid. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I went with a friend to go take a look at a 69 Camaro. And this was sort of a resto mod. It had a more little bit more modern engine in it. It had like all the brakes. The brakes were redone. The suspension was redone. So it wasn't I mean, 69 Camaros are expensive anyway, but this one had quite a bit of work done to it. And just the weirdest thing was that he brought cash. And this car, I think, was $39,000. And obviously this guy was, you know, well-to-do. He didn't have any problems with money. Mm-hmm. But I just remember thinking, how hard was it for you to get $39,000 in cash? Like, most banks won't let you take out more than like $10,000 a day. So you probably had to go like to four different banks. And it was just very strange, very weird to just be hauling that much cash around with him. But, you know, I watched over the big stacks of cash while he test drove the car, and it was just odd. And, you know, just essentially he bought the car and the guy that was selling it, just, you know, counting that much cash took forever. I think we were there for like, you know, half an hour just counting bills.
Was it all in pretty ones? Silly.
Yes, exactly. I think it was all hundreds, but there were probably a few 20s in there too that made it take a little bit longer. So it was pretty silly. So yeah, not a great story, but just very odd that was the way he chose to buy that car. I was very surprised.
Does he still have the Camaro?
Yes, he does.
Nice. Yep.
Still has it. He doesn't drive it that much. He's doing a lot of more work to it. You know, it's funny because the previous owner did all this work, kind of fixed it up. And then my friend who bought it didn't like a lot of the things that he did. So he ended up changing it. It's like, you know, that's what happens a lot of times. Yeah. You buy a house, whatever, you're going to want to make it your own. A lot of people do out with cars and you end up spending double what you put into it or whatever. But that's pretty silly.
Yeah. No, that makes sense though. I mean, it does. Think about it in like the terms of the house. It's like, I ripped out my entire front yard because I didn't like the desert landscape.
Yes.
So, but that's what the previous owners liked. So.
Sure. Exactly. Well, and that's the funny thing too. I remember when I sold the other house, when we sold our last house, I ended up like painting everything to kind of like make it look good for the sale. I ended up like really fixing up the yard and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And then we drove by a couple months later and the whole yard was completely different. So, yep. You know, all that work I spent by myself, like planting plants and doing everything, like I knew it was going to make the curb appeal really good and help sell it. But it's funny, like all those things that you do to help sell something, to make people want it, and they just want to go and rip it out.
Yep.
But if I hadn't done anything and I just left the yard like looking like crap, they wouldn't have bought it. It's pretty dumb. But
yeah,
I think the same thing with this Camaro. If it hadn't had all this work done to it, he probably would have just passed. So
even though it's all undone.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 So that's the $39,000 cash Camaro.
Wow.
Anyway, so actually Otto_Otto333 has another question, mm-hmm. Specifically for me. What is the story of Liam Neeson?
Ooh.
So we talked about this a little bit before in previous episodes, but I can recap a little bit.
The VH1 Behind the Music.
Exactly. Behind the Lemons theme. So yeah, obviously this is a 24 Hours of Lemons car. It's a 1997 Nissan 200SX SER. So it's got a SR20 motor in it, which is a pretty nice motor when it's running properly. And originally when we started this team, we bought the car because we thought it'd be easy to drive and pretty reliable, which it has been. We originally had a Harbor Freight Tools theme, which was not really that funny. We called it the Hazard Fraught Fools, which is kind of stupid. But so we basically took a bunch of Harbor Freight flyers and just taped them to the car. So the whole car was just Harbor Freight flyers. And I had some kind of funny stuff. Like there was, I think our number was 20, and I just said 20% off, you know, because you always get those 20% off coupons. So there were all these like little joke coupons on the side of the car. It was kind of fun to put together, but ultimately it didn't really resonate with anybody in us. It was just kind of, we needed to think of something. And then I think we decided after that first race that we did to come up with something a little bit more clever, a little bit more fun. And I came up with the idea of, why don't we try to do like some sort of, because you know, you hear about some other, I think there was a few other Lemons cars. I think there might've been a Tom Selleck. I feel like that might have been one.
Mm.
So that kind of got me thinking, okay, Tom Selleck, it was a Lemons car. What about Liam Neeson instead of Liam Neeson? So, you know, it's basically just one of those dumb jokes that we took too far. And now it's something we have to live with. So basically, I'm sure you've seen the car. We just literally used packing tape to tape pictures of Liam on our car. I think it was the first race that we did that. There was we put a picture of Liam where he's pretty much naked, mostly naked. He's sort of holding his nether regions with his hands to kind of like have a little bit of decency. But we put that on the back of the car, and we found that there were drivers that came up to us after the race or like, you know, halfway through the race that said, you know, that really kind of screwed me up. I was laughing like the whole way I was behind you, and it was screwing up my line, and I was slowing down and like breaking where it totally messed with people. So that was like kind of a good thing for us, you know, because we're not really fast drivers. So anything we can do to be faster than the people behind us, we're going to try it. So, and then actually it's funny because there was one race that we took off all the pictures. We ripped off every single picture and we painted it green, lime green with house paint. I think it was called Limerita was the color we got from Home Depot. It was pretty bad. But, and then my wife painted like two pictures of Liam on the side, which are still there. And during that race, we found out that everybody in the paddock, everybody at the racetrack that had seen the Liam Neeson theme in the past was so mad that we took off all these faces. Like everybody was so mad at us and angered. And they said, you have to put all the faces back on. You have to put them all back on. And that we definitely learned that don't change your theme when everybody really likes it. So we have to stick with it because everybody likes it. Everybody gets a kick out of it. So we're pretty much stuck with it no matter what. And the funny thing is, like, I don't know if you've heard, I don't know, like there's some like old wives' tales that green race cars are bad luck.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
And maybe it was just like a NASCAR thing. I'm not sure. But I remember hearing that green race cars are bad luck. And I do remember that we had a pretty rough weekend with that green race car, that Limerita race car when we didn't have all the Liam faces on it. It rained a ton and all the house paint was kind of like coming off the car. Cause you know, we used house paint, so it was just smearing off and like little specks of green were getting everywhere, like all inside the car. And and that was the same weekend that when I was towing home at the time, I had an enclosed trailer with the green Liam in the back and I was driving. my 2004 Nissan Titan towing this thing. That was the weekend that this crazy lady, this crazy girl in a Nissan or in a Chevy Trailblazer decided to try to pass me where there wasn't a passing lane, slammed into the back of my trailer and jackknifed my trailer and basically totaled both my trailer and the truck. So I will say, if you have a green race car, paint it. Don't paint your race car with house paint. And if you have something that your fans like, don't change it too much. So basically, we have to keep all of the Liam faces on it. We can never change our theme, or else people will be really mad at us, and we might crash more trailers and trucks.
Wow.
Yep.
That is quite the story. So I do have a question about it. Add. Did you acquire all the pictures of Liam Neeson?
Oh yeah, Liam Neeson. You just Google search. I probably went through $400 of ink for my printer.
So you just printed them.
Just printed them.
I'm just imagining you and the whole like crew just scoring through magazines and just cutting out anything you could find and putting it all on. Okay, so that works.
Yep, literally cheap paper, crappy ink, and packing tape. And of course, if it rains, we're screwed. Most of the stuff falls off. Actually, the last race, all of the faces and stuff on the top of the car flew off. So everything flew off the top. So we had our number on the top, like our banner on our windshield all came off. So we definitely bring extra packing tape with us to the racetrack just to make sure that everything stays. Yeah, it's when it rains, we're just screwed. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
And we thought about trying to do something more permanent, but it's just kind of funny to have like packing tape flapping in the wind. So
it is kind of funny.
We want it super, super low effort. You know, a lot of times when we're working on the car in the paddock, there's somebody like maybe changing brakes. There's somebody probably checking the suspension components, you know, checking the oil, maybe swapping out some tires. And then, you know, there's obviously somebody there with some packing tape, just like fixing the theme, making sure it's not going to fall off. So if anybody wants to come to the next Lemons race, we're going to be racing late September. I think it's the last weekend in September at Buttonwillow Raceway in Buttonwillow, California. And if you want to help crew, you can bring some packing tape and just kind of keep our car together. Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think like last time, we have so many questions that people have asked us. We might have to split this into two episodes. I think this is going to have to be a two-episode Q&A session. Want to maybe do another one next week?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much for listening, everybody. Why don't we do our social media recap? Where can everybody find you, Paul?
They can find me at Paul's Finest Hour on Instagram and Twitter. And where can they find you?
YouTube.com/HelloRoad and on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Ethan Tufts. And MySpace. What was the other one that went away? Friendster. Yeah, I think I'm still on there. Elo. What was that one? Elo. That was the one that was supposed to like replace everything. And it was going to be this decentralized social media network that everybody's going to love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I posted once on there and I still get spammed through it. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Bow down to Facebook, Instagram.
It's all the same.
They're just taking over everything.
They are.
All right. Well, I think that's it. And then stay tuned for the additional Q&A for next week's episode.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Take care.